the newest Robin the grandchild, Tzvi, son of Bruri and Yaakov Markowitz. Very cute baby. I don't know if you're cuter than other babies, but it's a cute baby. My opinion has not been solicited on other babies. Okay, so I had the honor of speaking at a Askara this week, Monday night. And so I met somebody, I said, I'm going to speak at Askara. He said, it can't be better than Chaye Sarah for an Askara for a woman who is Nifka. It was like Min HaShamayim. So I had to look at the psukim in Chaye Sarah, and I realized that they're kind of mysterious, and I didn't understand them. So let's learn the first four psukim with Rashi. Vayu Chaye Sarah. Chaye Sarah. It looks like a plural. The lives, plural of Sarah. Me'ya shana, ve'esrim shana, ve'sheva shanim. Instead of saying me'ya ve'esrim ve'sheva, which would be the more efficient way to do things, and we always assume that the Torah writes efficiently, so that the lack of efficiency is noteworthy. And then it ends, the pasuk ends with Shnei Chaye Sarah, which sounds like a repetition of the beginning of the pasuk, Vayu Chaye Sarah, and the end is Shnei Chaye Sarah. And of course, as I always say, I mean, since we're trained by Rashi to assume that the Torah is very efficient and does not simply say things again and again for no particular reason, so this calls attention to itself, these kind of problems. So let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Lekach dichtav shana b'kol klal v'klal. It says, Maya shana, v'esrim shana, v'sheva shanim. In every group of years. Lomar lecha, shekol echad nidrash latzmo. That each of these numbers, unlike in the general, when you have numbers, they're sort of like, just add up, 127 is one number. But here, in this pasuk, we're supposed to read it like 100 is important, and 20 is important, and 7 is important. And how? Why are they important? Rashi says, "Bamalecha, shekol echad nidrash latzmo." Each of these numbers have significance. How? Bat me'ah kevat esrim lechet. She was 100 years old, but she was like 20. She was like 20 years old as far as transgression is concerned. I guess the assumption is that people who are 20 years old have not yet gotten a good chance after. Transgression, I mean, I think we might find that a less than perfect idea. So, bat me'akev at esrim lechet, ma bat esrim lo chata, just like a 20-year-old hasn't sinned, share eina bat onshin, that's the halacha, is that you don't, in heavens, they don't give karet to somebody who is younger than 20. Ma bat esrim lo chata, Ma bat esrim lo chata, sharei eina bat onshim, af bat me'a b'lo chet. So the opposite is also true, just like, so it was like a kind of a way of saying, like a little bit complicated, it's about a way of saying that Sarah was perfect, that she never sinned. She was unique in this respect, according to Rashi. Bat esrim kibat sheva liyofi. And she, you know, this was also we find this in different places in the Torah, that the idea is that you shouldn't age. That, you know, I guess that hasn't changed much, right? This idea that you should always look young and you should always like act young, and so this was a big deal. Kevat Shevel Yofi. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, right, the Torah says, "Lo nas lecho." Lach is the his moisture, the youthfulness in his skin was still there, even though he was chronologically very old. Right? And then finally, Rashi says, Shnei Chayeto Sarah. Remember the second time Chaye Sarah mentioned, Kulan Shavin Litova. Kulan Shavim, all the years, all of her years are Shavim Litova, whatever that might mean. So Rashi, what Rashi has done is he's focused us on the two big problems in the Pasuk. One is, why does the word Shana appear again and again and again? And the second problem is, why is Chaye Sarah mentioned twice, those two words, Chaye Sarah? And Rashi's general answer is that there's a kind of a remez. A remez means it's not really written in the Pasuk, but you want to kind of see something in this particular structure. So the remez here is that Sarah was outstanding. She was without sin. And she was, her beauty had not expired in any way. And she had not done anything wrong, right? This is what Rashi says, but it leaves us a little bit cold. Because when we think about Sarah, it might leave us a little bit cold, this Rashi. Because you think about Sarah, you think about a person who was active. She did things. She, just think for a minute about her position on Hagar and Yishmael. I mean, she was an activist. And even Avraham Avinu was not willing, at first, did not want to act as she demanded that he act, to chase out Yishmael. I mean, what was the difference between Sarah and Abraham? Abraham was an eternal optimist. He hoped for the best. You know, he knew that his son Yishmael was not perfect, but he hoped to get to the point of perfection. Now, this is not just naivete on the part of Avraham Avinu, because we understand that in the course of Jewish history, that's exactly what happened. Because Yaakov had 12 sons. Now, not all of those 12 sons were exemplary or exemplars. Some of them were simply not in sync with the will of Yaakov. Nevertheless, in the time of Yaakov, there was a family. And a family, that was what was created. One of the things created by the Avot was family. And family means that even the people who don't live up to the standard that you would hope for remain part of the family, for better or for worse. I mean, that's what family is. That may be the reason that Yaakov originally sent Yosef to find his brothers who had gone off to Shechem to graze the sheep. Like, he knew that they all hated each other, but he didn't say to Yosef, look, avoid them. He said, be involved with them. Try to make your peace with them. And that was the family. Now, Avraham wanted the family. And Sarah understood that time had not yet come, that Yitzchak would be jeopardized by Yishmael. Because it just wasn't, I mean, they didn't have any backing. There were no generations. By the time Yaakov came, there were two generations of people who were influenced by Avraham and Yitzchak and even Yaakov. So it made more sense at that time to have a family. So Sarah was a personality. She wasn't just the lack of transgression or the somehow adornment with beauty. She was like a real person. So you would think that in the pasuk that describes the death of Sarah, there would be a remez, a hint to something that she had done, something positive about the world that she helped to create and it's missing. It's missing in Rashi. Missing in Rashi. V'tamot Sarah b'kiryat Arba hi Chevron v'aretz Kenan v'yavo Avraham lispod l'sarav l'livkota lispod to eulogize as Sarah v'livkota and to cry. And everybody asked the question. All the Mefarshim and modern commentaries all say the same thing. A person hears that a close relative died. That's when you cry. And then later on, when things get organized, you eulogize. Here, what it says in the Pasuk is that first Avram Avinu eulogized and then he cried. It's almost as though the Pasuk says that Avram Avinu didn't know who Sarah was until he eulogized her. And when he had to get up and speak about his wife, he started to cry because he realized how great the loss was. I'm not saying that this is what the Pasuk says, but it's almost as though that's what the intention of the Pasuk is, because as I said, normal people cry when you hear that something disastrous has happened, and they don't wait for the eulogy. Nevertheless, the Pasuk says, Lispod l'sarah v'livkota. So Rashi says, if you look at the first wide line in the Rashi, Lispod l'sarah v'livkota, v'nismecha mitat sarah la'kedat Yitzchak. So Rashi is answering a question. The question, you know, in Chazal is always, Lama nismecha? Lama nismecha? Why do two parashiyot, or two stories, come one after the other? Of course, Rashi only asks that question when there's an answer. And the answer for Rashi is always in Chazal. It's never an answer that he invents, which is, so there's a limit. What does Chazal say about this question? Nismecha bitat sara l'akedat Yitzchak lefi, sh'al yidei b'sarat ha'akedah, shenizdamein b'na l'shchita, v'kimat sh'lo nishchat, parcha nishmata mimena u'meita. So, I am never able to understand this Rashi that says that she heard about Akedat Yitzchak, what was going on, and she was so taken by what was happening, she died. I mean, it was the family that she worked so hard to create by getting rid of, amongst other things, probably getting rid of Hagar and Ishmael. it was going to come to an end, but so she died. She could not put up with that idea. The idea was too much for her. But what do you say? Is this a compliment about Sarah, or perhaps a critique of Sarah? After all, Avraham and Yitzchak went to the Akedah, to this event of binding of Yitzchak. I wouldn't say they went happily, but they went knowing that they were a reflection of God's will. They were doing what God wanted them to do, and they were willing to do that. And Sarah somehow, according to this Chazal, was out of the picture. She was not as they were. She was not as they were. And the fact that they were willing to go, and they were in the state of Elchushneem Yachdav, the two of them, Avraham and Yitzchak, went together. Right? And you remember that besides Avraham and Yitzchak, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, Shnei Ne'arav Imo, right? He went with the two nameless lieutenants. Rashi says, who are the nameless lieutenants? Eliezer and Yishmael. Well, if it's Eliezer and Yishmael, why are they nameless? Why are they not named in the story? We know them. We know Eliezer. Rashi says, look at Rashi. It says Eliezer and Yishmael. So why shouldn't the Torah tell us that it's Eliezer and Yishmael? Well, they were not in the story. They did not play a role Ilakedatis, they could never understand. They stood way back. They didn't approach the place of Akedatis. It was something they could not fathom and would not be able to understand. So it turned out that Sarah was somehow in that category, according to Rashi. She didn't get it. So I think it sounds to me like it's not exactly a compliment. What? A little louder,
I can understand it, that there's a difference between Sarah and Abraham, in that Sarah is a mother.
Sarah?
Is a mother.
Yeah.
And a mother will often react differently than a father.
Okay. So you're saying that you can somehow see a way of justifying what happened to Sarah.
Right, okay. Trying to explain it.
Isn't it also an idea of the imaginative contemplation of a near miss?
That what?
That the imaginative contemplation of a near miss, of thinking of something that is a very deep trauma, that if you think, you would think on one hand that, well, it was a near miss, so you should be very, very happy. You wouldn't have a trauma, but you do have a trauma when you contemplate what might have happened, what could have happened. And she wasn't there to see it. It's often people say it's scary, things are scary from afar. So isn't that the idea with Sarah, that just thinking about what almost happened was so horrific to her that she died of the shock of it?
Look, I don't know. I mean, maybe you've written a good movie script.
Actually, I think it's from the sources, but I'll read
it
next week.
I don't think the Avot and the Imahot are supposed to have traumas.
Well, this, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
She had a few.
No, she didn't have a few. She had challenges. Challenges and traumas are not the same thing. Yeah. Challenges you're able to deal with. A trauma you're not able to deal with. Pasuk Dalet. One more Pasuk. No, I'm sorry. Vayakav Pasuk Gimel. Vayakav Abraham Yalpanei Meitov. Vayedabel B'nei Chet Lemor. So Abraham rose up before the dead body, and he spoke to B'nei Chet Lemor, the people who were there, who lived in the area. Ger B'toshav Anochi Imachem. Tnu Li Achuzat Kevi Imachem. So what's missing? What's missing in the story is the hesped. Like, what did Abraham say about his wife? I mean, for some reason, this is not available to us. The Torah doesn't want us to know what Abraham said about his wife. Now, I would imagine that it would be very instructive to know what it was that Abraham said to his wife, about his wife. But we just don't know. So what I would like to do, to kind of see if we can clarify a little bit, is to learn a section of the Preet Tzaddik, right? The Preet Tzaddik is a work on Chumash, Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, right? Who has, every time I mention him, I say the same thing. The same thing I always say is that fortunately for us, Rav Tzadok had very few living Hasidim. And that gave him a lot of time to write things. And so we profit from the writing of Rav Tzadok HaKohen, who was very knowledgeable in all facets of Torah, and had interesting ways of looking at things. So I'm going to read it and translate it. I hope. The Midrash Rabbah, the lines are not numbered, so I'll call your attention to it from time to time. The Midrash Rabbah, here on this, the parasha, Yodei Hashem Yimei Tmimim. Yimei Tmimim, that's what the pasuk says. Days of Tamim. Tamim is perfection. Right? Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, you're not perfect. the Brit Milah will make you perfect. Yimei Tmimim. Kishem Shehein Tmimim, Kach Shnotam Tmimim. Just as the days are perfect, the years are also perfect. Kada Eglita Tmima. Like the Egla Tmima. Egla is a... And Tmima means without a blemish. Right? Perfect. There's a certain perfection in animals which is necessary in order to have, for them to be korbanot. Egla Tmima. V'shamati me'arav ha-kadosh. I don't know who this is. It could be either the Torah Emet, who was the Rebbe in Lublin before him, or it could be the Ishbitzer, who was the Rebbe before that. But it was somebody that he actually had contact with, Shapiresh Kahada Eglita. He explained the word Eglita, which means a calf. We just said that. Davar Agol. She'ein lo rosh v'sof shakol shavim. That eglita is a circle. Agol. Agol in Hebrew. And the thing about a circle is that it doesn't have a beginning or an end. It's the same all around. And of course all of this, these words are words that are used to describe Sarah. Right? She's the same when she was old as when she was young. She was pure old and pure young. She was beautiful young and beautiful old. She was the circle. She was described, she could be described as, and that's what the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said, we're not talking about a calf, but we're talking about a circle. Rebbe Sofcha Kol Shavin. Kein Shenotam. Also the years. Ukishmosha Amru Bat Kuf Kibat Kaf Lechait. So, this is how the Kritzadik starts it off. That she was always the same. He expands on the Rashi, which is Chazal, right? Also in the Medrash. He expands on it, and what he says is, it's always the same. That's Sarah. Sarah Imenu, when she was young, when she was middle-aged, when she was older, she was always the same. Kach shenotam k'mo shemru matkuf k'bat kaf l'chait. U'masik b'midrash. Ma tzarich lomar shnei chayei Sarah b'achrona? Why does the pasuk repeat the words shnei chayei Sarah b'achrona if it said those words in the beginning? Vayu chayei Sarah. And then why does it say shnei chayei Sarah? Question that we also asked. Lomar lecha, listen, chaviv chayehem sel tzadikim lifnei ha-makom ba'olam hazeh u'le'olam haba. In other words, chayei Sarah, she lived the life of olam hazeh and she lived the life of olam haba. She was worthy, the first person in the creation who has this attribute of being perfect in Olam Hazeh and perfect for Olam Haba. V'darash zeh b'Sarah. And this drasha is about Sarah. Shelo nichtav parasha miyuchedet ulimanot hashanim b'shum echad me'aimahot kemo b'Sarah. So Sarah is distinguished. She's not like the others, the other imahot, right? Rivka, Rachel, Leah. They don't have this when they die. Shana, Shanim, Chayei. Those words are missing when their death is described. The Kamosha Ruba Zohar Kadosh, right? You remember I told you the Zohar has standard pagination. Even if the printed book that you're looking at is not the standard pagination, but the standard pagination is always noted someplace on the page. So if you look at the Zohar with the Perush of the Sulam, it just comes to mind. Right? So you know that the standard pagination is found at the bottom of the page. But you could always, so it's just like in the Gemara, there's a standard pagination. Right? So if you would publish a Gemara in a new format, which you know has been done, you would probably relate it to the standard format so that people could find their way around more easily. Kamosha Rubazar Kadosh, all of this. Aval mashin ner maz shechaviv chayehem lifnei Hashem itbarach b'olam hazeh v'olam haba mid nechpal shnei chayei sara b'achrona yesh lahavin lama ner mazeh v'sara v'lo b'avraham. Wow, here you have it. So he says, why is it that this idea that a person could be fit for olam hazeh and olam haba is stated with Sarah and not stated for Abraham, who of course is a hero, is the real, you know, the ultimate hero is Abraham, the way we understand it. Lama de mazeb is Sarah v'loba Abraham kevan shezeh amar al kol atzadikim shechaviv chayehem olam hazeh olam haba. After all, it's probably true that for all of the tzaddikim, there is chavivut, there is some sort of close relationship with God in this world and in the next world. Acha inyan, masha amru shinotam tmimim. But the reason that the pasuk says shinotam, its years are unblemished, וכיוון שנמנו כל השנים אף שנות הילדות שלא היה בהם דעת. So here he's going to try to tell us something. So when you say that somebody was perfect, when you say that somebody lived a perfect life, never sinned, always did mitzvot, always did the good thing, what about the younger years? What about the years before you're sort of accountable for what you do? What about the years when you're simply a child? From this we see that their years are unblemished. Go before me and be unblemished. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to circumcise himself. Nishlam sheshnotav tmimim. In other words, it's connected to the Mila. That means that before Avraham Avinu was circumcised, he was not tamim. There was something incomplete about him. And since he was incomplete beforehand, you can't say that he was always the same. He wasn't always the same. He was two people. He was Avraham Avinu before Mila and Avraham Avinu after Mila. So that's what you could say, Shal Yedei HaMila Nishlam Sheshnotav Tmimim. The years after that were unblemished. V'hainu she'az nitbareh ma she'ne'emar lech tal yaldutcha. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. I'll just take a look. I brought Tehillim with me. One second. Of course, not sure about the reference that I wrote. Ah, here it is. It's in Tehillim Kuf Yud Pasuk Gimel. The end of that pasuk says these words, Lecha tal yaldutecha. You can be described by the word tal. Tal is do. D-E-W. Yaldutecha. Your childhood. Now what does do have to do with childhood? So Rashi says, Rashi tal yaldutecha, Ye lecha yechashev ke tal yaldutecha. Right, you will be considered to be like Tal. Your childhood will be Tal, and that can also be stated as follows, as it is in other medrash. Shenechshevot LaAbraham Shalosh Shanim Chetol Harishonot Ketal. What's Tal? What do you know about Tal? It disappears. Right, you know, early in the morning, you go out, there's tal. And then you just wait a while, and there isn't any more. So, what about Avram Avinu could be called tal? So you know that there are two opinions about when Avram Avinu discovered God. One is that he was 3 years old, and the other that he was 40 years old. Neither of those opinions does me any good. But let's say it was 3 years old. Let's say that Avraham Avinu discovered God when he was 3 years old. So that means that before he was 3 years old, he lived in the world of idolatry. Right? So the Pasuk says, Tal Yaldutecha, that your childhood years, this is the way the Tanhuma explains it, your childhood years are like Tal. What about Tal? Tal disappears. It disappears in the so that this idea is that Avraham Avinu was also perfect, even though Avraham Avinu had younger years that were difficult, but they disappeared when he discovered God. That's called Tal Yaldutecha, Matal Zepareach, just like the Tal disappears. Your transgression also disappears. Mahatal hazeh siman bracha v'chulei. This is all in the Medrash. U'kimosha amru, right? Hainu sha'af yemei ayaldut kolim shikiret bor'o gam kein siman bracha. So it turns out that his earlier years, where he did not yet know about God, but he did whatever he did, whatever his parents directed him to do, also became a siman bracha. She yehed naora, and the hora is light. The nafik bego chashocha, because the light that Avraham Avinu produced, this is what the Zohar said, is even greater than regular light, because it's light that comes from darkness. It's like, you know, like if you have a flashlight during the day, you don't see much. But if you have the flashlight in darkness, it can make a serious difference. So that was Avraham Avinu. He became the light out of the darkness. Anushaf Yemei. God came Siman Bracha, Shein Hor Denofik Migocha Shocha, Kemosha Amru Lecha. Mama, I wrote this elsewhere as well. V'chein Sarah. Even though Sarah, it didn't say about Sarah that she should become tamim, unblemished. So he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says that a woman is like a circumcised being. In other words, the woman is born perfectly formed. Whereas the man has to achieve perfection through circumcision. So it's, again, Matzati, V'knichtav rak b'sara, V'knichtav rak b'sara, Shnei yameha, L'orot sheshnoteha tmimim, Al pi ma she'amru b'medrash. And that's why Sarah is noted to be Shnei Chaye Sarah. Shnei Chaye Sarah, twice, because she is Tmima. Tmima, Pima Shamuba Midrash, Adam Echad Me Elef Matsati. I found one person of 1,000, means very rare. Matsati Ze Abraham. But I couldn't find a woman who was like that. Zo Sarah. V'amechavein. And what does that mean? Shayu o tzadikim ka Avraham. Shebalet hakeim p'gam shel Adam arishon. Ukemosha amru. Harei ani borei et ha'adam tchila. Shehem yikalkel. Yevo Avraham v'yitakein tachtav. Ayein sham. So he says, Abraham, what do you mean Abraham was? I found one amongst that there were a lot of tzaddikim who could have done something similar to what Abraham did, but the Adam echad mi elef matzati ka Abraham sheyavo letaken p'kam Adam arishon. So this is like, you know, the Kabbalistic world, which is that we're always fighting to fix what was messed up. So part of the mess of the world is attributed to Adam HaRishon. And the tikkun, the fixing of what Adam HaRishon did wrong, is already planned by God through Abraham Avinu. So he said, V'drash kohel Adam HaChad Me'elef Matzati, Zeh Abraham V'isha B'kol Lev Lo Matzati Zo Sarah V'amechuvan Sheyo Tzadikim Ka'Abraham Sheba L'takem B'kan Sheadam HaRishon U'Kemo She'amru Harei Ani Borei Et Ha'Adam Tchila She'em Yikalkel Yevo Abraham V'yitaken Tachtav Ayin Sham V'Adam. This is what we're up to. Echad Me'elef, right? I'm now 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines on the bottom. Echad mi elef matzati ke Avraham sheyavo letaken pegam Adam arishon. Ukemo she'amru bebreishit rabah, ein dor she'ein bo ke Avraham. That means every generation needs an Avraham Avinu to fix things that were messed up by the previous generations. And so Avraham Avinu is not just the one who fixes the sin of Adam HaRishon, but he's the prototypical fixer. And just like you needed Avraham Avinu in order for history to move on, you still need Avraham Avinu for history to move on. Aval isha kshera shetikna pigam Chava lo nimtza. This is a notion that is strongly stated in the Kabbalah, that Abraham fixes the sin of Adam HaRishon and Sarah will fix the sin of Chava. Right? The sins, they both sinned, but there's a sort of a sexist position about the sins that they participated in. Again, אבל אישה כשהירה שתקנה פגם חווה לא נמצא. וזהו שנאמר, ואישה בכל אלה לא מצאתי. And that's why the pasuk said, I couldn't find a woman. או כמו שאמרו בזוהר הקדוש, ונכפל בה באחרונה שני חיי שרה, שחביב שנותיהם של צדיקים לפני השם יתברך בעולם הזה ולעולם הבא. That God loves the years of the righteous in Olam Hazeh and Olam Habeh. Ach ze yitachen b'isha she'eina bat Torah v'nisharim chayeha kemo she'hem l'Olam Habeh. And here is like this interesting idea that women are not chayavot in the same way as men, in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which doesn't mean that they're not chayavot in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, I don't think. I mean, I'm prejudiced, I suppose. But women make the brocha, a brocha at Birkat HaMitzvah on Talmud Torah every morning. So there must be some sort of relationship between learning Torah and women. Nevertheless, what is he saying? what does he say? He says this, Achzei itachein b'isha she'eina b'torah v'nisharim chayek kamo she'em l'olam haba v'hem chaviv lifnei Hashem yitbarach ma she'en kei mitzadikim de'ita b'sof brachot talmidei chachamim ein lehem menucha lo b'olam hazeh v'l'olam haba she'ne'emar yelchu mechayil el chayil. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. Yelchu Michael El Chayil. Upirish Rashi, mi yeshiva li yeshiva, mi medrash li medrash, mi yitosif lem chayim kam bolam haba. So you'll tell me what you think. But what the pre-tzaddik says is the fact that men, the male, has a mitzvah to learn Torah, is itself a reflection of the lack of tmimut in the men. That they always have to fight to get to where God wants them to get to. And since the Talmud Torah is an endless enterprise, it's always, learning Torah is a reflection of the lack of perfection in the male. Whereas the women who don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah, which doesn't mean that they shouldn't learn Torah or they can't learn Torah or they won't learn Torah. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that the perfection that God is looking for, which gives you entree into Olam Haba, can only exist for women. It can only exist for women because they don't need the tikkun of Talmud Torah. They need the knowledge of Talmud Torah. Well, that's obvious. I mean, you can't keep the Torah if you don't know anything about it. So you need Talmud Torah to keep the Torah. But men need Talmud Torah to become people, to become persons, to achieve a level of unblemishedness. So he says that's why this idea of menucha in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba is stated specifically by Sarah, because Sarah is the kind of prototypical woman in this case who is perfect, that her perfection as distinct from Avraham Avinu. Right, Avraham Avinu, the first 3 years, he was an idolater. I don't know what Sarah was doing during the first 3 years of her life, but we don't know anything about that. We do know that Avraham Avinu was an idolater or lived in an idolatrous world. And since Avraham Avinu lived in an idolatrous world, he needed to be fixed. Right? Somehow that had to be. So the Pasuk said, well, those 3 years are like Tau. They're like the... What's Tau?
Dew,
right. That's like, I'm losing it. The dew, which disappears. It disappears in the world. When the sun comes out, there's no longer any dew. So we'll just finish. Pirush Rashi. Rashi says, b'chayim l'chayim, b'yeshiva l'yeshiva, or b'medrash l'medrash. I mean, that's what men have to do. They keep going from one place to another to learn Torah. B'yitosef lehem chayim, gamba olam haba. And that's how they get to the life of Olam Haba. Lo yitachein l'rameis b'zeh l'chvol l'shon shnei chayehem shechaviv lifnei ha-makom l'olam haba. But they don't deserve this accolade that Sarah received. That Sarah received that she's perfect for Olam Hazeh and perfect for Olam Haba. V'zeh nirmaz b'ma shenichbal shnei chayei Sarah. V'isha acheret k'shera. לא היה שתגנע פגם חווה, וכמו שאמרנו, משום אחי, נרמז דווקא בשרה. And since Sarah fixed the pigam, the blemish that was created by Chava, she was given this special accolade that she's Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. If I just summarize for a minute the points that the pre-tzaddik made. Of course, the pre-tzaddik is not talking about Sarah. He's talking about the prototypical woman who happened to be named Sarah. Right? He's not talking about a particular person. He's talking about the challenge of goodness. He's talking about how you determine that somebody is righteous. What does it mean? What does it mean to say that somebody is unblemished, that has achieved perfection? And he attacks that from several different ways. And he comes to the conclusion, that there's something very special that we learn here about Sarah, and that she is unblemished, even in a way that Avraham Avinu was not. Even though the early sins or the sins of his youth disappear like Tal disappears, but they were there before they disappeared. Right? That was the point that the pre-tzaddik made. So that if you would say that that's the hesped is like recognition, according to the pre-tzaddik, that Avraham Avinu recognized who his wife was, what it was that she contributed in terms of olam hazeh, olam haba, perfection, imperfection. How even he, Avraham Avinu, had to take note of her special qualities. I'll listen to a second. I would just like to add one thing. I asked, where is the hesped? Where's the hesped? So, you know, Avraham Avinu, he didn't have to buy the Marat HaMakpelah. He didn't have to buy a grave for his wife. I mean, we know, certainly from somewhat later times, and probably it was true in those times, that they didn't necessarily organize cemeteries. And you know, people had a house, and the house was surrounded by fields, and the field had a spot in it under a tree, a nice spot. But you could bury the people who died over there. It wasn't as though you had to pay the Chevra Kedisha in order to bury somebody. That wasn't the way it works. So that part of the understanding of the discussion between B'nai Chet and Avraham Avinu, take the money, don't take the money, no, you could bury it, don't bury it. Part of that discussion was that Avraham Avinu actually came up with a new idea. And his new idea was a place that would remain forever known to everybody as the place that Sarah was buried. And that place, according to Avraham Avinu's understanding of things, had to be purchased. Had to be purchased, even though the kibush of Eretz Yisrael would come later, in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. And everybody understood that kibush was a necessary prerequisite to Nachalah. He, Avraham Avinu, felt that his wife deserved to participate actively in the Nachala of Eretz Yisrael. She came willingly with Avraham Avinu to Eretz Yisrael, and she lived her life and brought up her children with the love of Eretz Yisrael. So that the hesped that Avraham Avinu, that the Torah tells us, I mean, hesped may have had several different moments to it, but the hesped, the eulogy of Avraham Avinu for Sarah, was the Marat HaMachpelah, where she participated in inventing something new, that the family had a nachala in Eretz Yisrael. The family had a nachala in Eretz Yisrael. And it's not a regular kind of hesped, but it's the hesped that the Torah tells us about. This is what he did. This is what changed in the world. This is what happened, that the Marat Machpelah suddenly became the property of the family. And that was something new. That was something absolutely new. And Avraham Avinu insisted that he would pay for it, that people who are halachically inclined understand that there's a difference between a gift and a purchase, and that the purchase is much more serious, it's much more final than a gift. A gift, you could always, you know, the person giving the gift might change his mind and say, look, I didn't mean to give you the gift. I meant to show it to you. Or I meant to lend it to you. I meant, you know, like, that's, those are things that might happen. But a purchase is final. Both sides understand that. There might be witnesses to the purchase. So what Avraham Avinu did for his wife was change the world a little bit. And that was his hesped.
Just thinking that there's something, it's a beautiful Joshua, and all the things were very positive. But what still concerns me is, what is it that led the Mefarshim to actually take this direction? Because if you look at the text, A, when she dies, nothing is said. B, the few things that are mentioned about her actually are not so positive. One thing that's mentioned is, you know, when she hears the Malachim talk about her having a baby, she laughs, she doubts it, says, you know.
Yes.
So these things are not so beautiful. So the question that raises for me is, what made the Mefarshim decide to take this lack of text and turn it into an example of super text? That's it. They made her into a super tzaddikus. It's not just a person, but a super tzaddikus. Better than other women, better than even than her husband Avraham. About much is said. And even at her death, nothing is said. When Moshe dies, you know, you have a statement, no one was like him, etc. When she dies, there's not a word. And they use it. So I'm trying to figure out, what was it that was bothering them that they were trying to fill in? In other words, and even use this negative text to create a different picture. I don't know.
Good. Nothing like wondering. Okay. No, I mean, everybody heard. All the best. That was a good job.